This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalan ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadiyah. واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we discussed what happened after the Battle of Uhud, how the Prophet ﷺ ordered his companions to chase after the enemy the next day, and how they responded to that positively, and how Allah praised them in the Quran with ayat related to that incident. Then we looked at some remaining scenes of the battle, like good and bad endings, the role of the women, and some of the miracles that had occurred in that battle. Now, unlike any other battle that the Prophet ﷺ fought, the Battle of Uhud will always remain as the one that teaches the Ummah so many different lessons. And so it is a treasure trove of lessons. And that's why the scholars, whenever they talk about the Battle of Uhud, they always mention a list of lessons that can be derived from it. So Ibn Qayyim, he lists many of them in his famous book, Zad al-Ma'ad. And so what we're going to do today, inshallah ta'ala, is that we're going to go through as many lessons as we can. And even then, we wouldn't be doing justice to this topic. There would be so many lessons that we wouldn't be able to mention and cover. Now, most of the lessons that we will mention are actually in light of what Allah has mentioned in the Quran. And so we mentioned previously that the Battle of Badr, after the Battle of Badr, Allah revealed Surah Al-Anfal. And after the Battle of Uhud, Allah revealed so many ayat from Surah Ali Imran. More than 60 ayat of the surah are in relation to the Battle of Uhud. And so let us go through the lessons that we learn from this battle. The first is the importance of studying history. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 137, قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ سُنَنْ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Similar situations have come to pass before you. Allah is talking about the Battle of Uhud, saying to the believers that what happened to you on this day, similar situations took place with the believers before you and with the disbelievers, the nations of the past. And then Allah says, so travel throughout the land and see the fate of the deniers. We can't believe in history if we don't believe in the validity of the rule of cause and effect.
We have to believe that causes do lead to certain results. And so if that is not the case, then there is no benefit in studying history. Because when we study history, we are actually looking at causes that lead to certain results. And these causes and their subsequent results are the laws of Allah that govern us human beings. Which is why Allah refers to them as sunan, the plural of sunnah. So the sunnahs of Allah with respect to us human beings. You act a certain way, then you will see a certain result. And so we need to look at what happened to the believers in the previous nations and compare them with the kuffar of those nations and then learn lessons from them. And so that is what Allah is telling us in this ayah. He's telling us that we need to study history to learn lessons. And so that is the purpose of studying history, and that's the reason why Allah mentioned so many stories in the Quran. The purpose behind it is to learn lessons from them, not for the sake of entertainment. We don't read history for fun, to enjoy these stories, but rather to learn the lessons from them. And when we look at the story of the Battle of Uhud, as we mentioned, we derive so many lessons from it. Number two, a question that has always remained on the minds of many is about the Battle of Uhud. Was this battle a victory for Quraysh and a defeat for the Muslims? There's no doubt that initially the Muslims were victorious. And we mentioned this. In fact, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, Allah did not give victory to his messenger like he did on the day of Uhud. So the people, they started to object and they said, how could you say that? We all know that this was a defeat. So he said, between me and those who deny it is the book of Allah. Allah says about the day of Uhud, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ. In Surah Al Imran, Allah says, and Allah had certainly fulfilled His promise to you when you were killing them, slaughtering them by His permission. And so that was a victory, and they started to retreat, as we know. But then the tides turned, and we know the eventual outcome. So the question now is, was this a victory for Quraysh and a defeat for the Muslims? To answer that question, we need to know what the objectives of the war was. What were the objectives of this war? And then we need to see, were those objectives fulfilled? Because a victory is only a victory when you achieve your objectives. And we say that was not the case here. Because Quraysh had come out to annihilate the Muslims. once and for all. And that didn't happen. But rather, they ended up going back to Mecca. If they had returned like Abu Sufyan wanted to do, and then let's say for argument's sake, they came back and they destroyed the Muslims, then we say yes, it was a clear victory for them. And so we say this was not a victory for Quraysh, nor was it a clear defeat for the Muslims. Yes, they suffered a loss, they suffered many casualties, but we don't say that they suffered a defeat. And so likewise, in all wars and battles that the Muslims fight, like in the present situation, you know, when we look at what's happening in Palestine, even though they have suffered huge amounts of losses, we don't say that they have been defeated. They will only be defeated if, you know, the enemy is able to put an end to the resistance. As long as there is resistance, then the enemy has not achieved a victory, nor have the Muslims been defeated. Number three, do not be overcome with defeat when suffering a loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 139, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not become weak. Do not falter. Do not grieve. For you will have the upper hand if you are indeed believers. And so this was revealed after the Battle of Uhud, when the spirits of the Muslims were low. Allah is telling the Muslims not to weaken, not to grieve, and that if they are true believers, then victory is with them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If you have suffered injuries, they, the enemy, have also suffered likewise. And so since their morale was down because of what happened to them in the Battle of Uhud, Allah was now telling them that what happened to you in the Battle of Uhud also happened to Quraysh in the Battle of Badr. If you are suffering wounds now, they suffered wounds then. Also, if their loss at Badr did not prevent them from coming back to fight in Uhud, then the wounds of the Muslims at Uhud should not prevent the Muslims from carrying on the fight either. So Allah is telling the Muslims not to give up. Their spirits must remain high. If some of the Muslims are killed, then be patient. Remain steadfast. And don't give up. In fact, when we see what the enemy is doing today in Palestine, how they are indiscriminately targeting the civilians and the innocent Muslims, the purpose behind that is to bring down the morale of the resistance. They want these people to give up fighting. And so that is one of the reasons why they're doing what they're doing. They want them to give up. And so they require reminders like this. Allah is telling the believers, do not weaken. Yes, you suffered injuries, casualties. It was terrible. But you have to keep your spirits high and you need to continue. Then Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. And we alternate the days, meaning the days of victory and defeat, We alternate them among the people. So one day Quraysh wins, and one day the Muslims win. That is how it is in this dunya. Winning and losing is part of life. Ibn Qayyim, he says, it was the wisdom of Allah and His way with His prophets and their followers that they would once win and once lose. But in the end, they are victorious. So the end result is that Islam will win. However, until we reach that stage, it will always be a win-lose situation. Then he says, if the believers always win, then others would join them. And then it wouldn't be clear who the believers are and who are not. And so to distinguish between the believers and the kuffar or the opportunists, there needs to be these alternating conditions between the truth and falsehood. If there wasn't such a situation, then if the Muslims were always winning, then people would join only for worldly reasons. And then he says, and if the Muslims are always losing, then the objective of sending the prophets will not be fulfilled. Meaning, the objective behind why Allah sent the prophets was for Islam to spread throughout the world. And so if the Muslims never win, then that objective cannot be fulfilled. And so it's not befitting that we should always be winning, nor is it befitting that we should always be losing. And so the losing phase that separates the true believers from the others, and the winning phase that spreads the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the Muslims to suffer? Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to be victorious? Okay, we understand why, as we mentioned, but why so much bloodshed? Why so many casualties? Why so much loss of life? And as we reflect over this, we should reflect over what's happening right now. And so there are some Muslims out there who are wondering, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this to happen to the believers? And so there are so many reasons why Allah allows the believers to suffer loss like they did on the day of Uhud. And so Allah mentioned these reasons in these ayat in Surah Al-Imran. And so let's see what Allah says. After mentioning وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, we continue on from there. Allah says, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. So that Allah may reveal the true believers and choose shuhada, choose martyrs from among you. And Allah does not like the wrongdoers. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And that He may purify the true believers and destroy the kuffar. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think that you're going to enter Jannah without Allah seeing which of you fought for His sake and patiently endured? And so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions five reasons for why He allowed what He allowed to happen on the day of Uhud. The first, is to make evident the true believers. As we mentioned before, the true test of Iman is the battlefield. That is the true test. And that is where the fakeness shows. As we saw, before the battle even began, a third of the army defected. And they were the munafiqun, the hypocrites. So Allah is saying that He wanted to separate the believers from the munafiqun. وَلِيَعْلَمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And then the second, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. The second, to choose from among the believers martyrs. Ibn Qayyim says, الشهادة, martyrdom, is among the highest levels in the sight of Allah. And the martyrs are the ones whom Allah drives closer to Him. And then he says, how can there be martyrs if Allah doesn't allow the enemy to kill some of the Muslims? So if Shahada is such a high status, then how are we going to achieve it? The only way to achieve it is for Allah to allow the enemy to kill some of the believers. The third, وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to purify the believers through such tests. Ibn Qayyim, he says, Allah loves some of His servants so much that He reserves for them high places in Jannah. However, the deeds of this servant are not sufficient enough to take him up to that level. So how can a person achieve it? It is by Allah making such people to go through the trials of this dunya by suffering hardship and pain. And that is how this person's status can be raised in Jannah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that no pain and suffering touches the believer except that so many things happen as a result. Your sins are forgiven, and you elevate yourself, you are rising in ranks. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved these companions so much, but because their deeds were not sufficient enough to take them to that level that Allah had reserved for them, Allah made them go through the pain, the hardship, the injury, and the suffering that they went through. And so Ibn Qayyim says that it is a purification process. Whenever you go through a hardship, for example, when you fall ill, you're being purified. And that's why we say to the sick and the ill person, لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. It is a purification for you. The fourth, ويمحق الكافرين, to destroy the disbelievers. And so, if Allah loves some so much, then He hates others a lot. So Allah dislikes some of the kuffar so much that He has reserved a place for them in the hellfire. And so here Allah is telling us that He allowed this suffering on the day of Uhud for it to be a means of punishing these kuffar. So the fact that the kuffar incurred so much loss and suffering upon the Muslims, this is actually a means for their destruction in the future. You know, imagine for Ibn Qami'ah, the one who had injured the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Does he think that that was something good for him? Is that something to be happy over? Likewise, what they're doing to the Muslims today, they're rejoicing. But is that something for them to be rejoicing over? That is the worst thing that can ever happen to them in their lives. For them to target Muslims like that. For that man to target the Prophet ﷺ and injure him. It was the worst thing to happen to happen in his life. And because of it, they're going to land where they're going to land in the Akhirah. If they had not done it, then how would Allah be just in punishing them? And so it's all a preparation for their punishment. As Allah says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Again, in Surah Ali Imran, Allah says, those who disbelieve and the enemies of Allah should not think that Allah extending their time for them in the dunya is any good for them. You know, we also wonder, you know, why is Allah not punishing them? Why is Allah not, you know, putting an end to their tyranny? Allah says here, they are only given more time to increase in sin. And they will suffer a humiliating punishment. So when we see that certain kuffar nations have a free reign to do whatever they want to the Muslims, to kill them, to harass them, to torture them, to throw them into prisons without any charges, we should stop and think, is that something good for them? And so the reality is that it is a sign of Allah's wrath that's going to descend upon them, and you know what awaits for them in the Akhirah. And so Allah gives these tyrants chances in the dunya so that they could rightfully be put where they will be put in the hellfire. And so Allah is building a case against them by which they'll have no way of escaping on the Day of Judgment, and they won't have any way of defending themselves. If they had not done any of this, then they could perhaps, you know, have a case or a justification. The fifth reason why Allah allows this suffering, Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Here Allah is telling the Muslims, don't think that you can make it to Jannah without fighting jihad in his cause. You have to go through the stages. You cannot claim your place in Jannah without going through the hardship and the struggles. And consequently, it will show in your sabr, your patience. And so that's why Allah combines between jihad and sabr here in this ayah. And so Islam is not a mystic religion where you just do certain acts of worship, certain rituals, and that's it. You know, you guarantee yourself Jannah. Allah will test us in the field. And so Allah has some serious demands from us, because He will then give us Jannah in return. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliyah," that the product of Allah that He is offering to sell to us is extremely expensive. "Ala inna sil'ata Allahi al-jannah," that product of Allah is Jannah. And Allah has told us in Surah At-Tawbah how He has bought and purchased the lives of some for that reward, for Jannah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah has purchased from the believers their lives in exchange for Jannah. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ You certainly wished for the opportunity for shahada, for dying in the path of Allah, before you encountered it. Now you have seen it with your own eyes. Here Allah is talking about the Sahaba who could not make it for the battle of Badr. They missed out. And so these companions were waiting for an opportunity like this, because they also wanted shahada in the path of Allah. But these are mere wishes. It is something that was in their hearts. And so it means you can have the intention, but now the question is your intention real? So Allah is saying here that actual fighting was necessary to verify whether your wishes and desires are true or not. Maybe some of them weren't sure what they wanted until they actually got onto the battlefield. And then maybe when they saw the fighting and the blood in front of their own eyes, maybe they would have changed their minds. And so likewise, many of us, we may have that intention in our heart to be a shaheed. But does that mean that when we see the opportunity, we would actually make an effort to fulfill the intention? And so this is something that only Allah knows. And that is why Allah brought such situations to make evident of what was in their hearts, as Allah mentions in this ayah. We continue on to the next lesson. The consequences of disobedience. Disobeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a grave sin. And that is why the Muslims suffered the way they suffered in the battle of Uhud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul wa uli al-amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority over you. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Should you disagree on something, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger if you truly believe in Allah and the Last Day. And so here Allah was addressing the believers who were there with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was alive. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger and those in authority over you. And then, if you differ over something, take it back to Allah and His Messenger. So when they would differ over something, they would go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and have him to resolve it for them. Allah is commanding them to do this. After the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we now dispute over something, we need to take it back to Allah and His Messenger. That is by taking it back to the Quran and the Sunnah. And so that is our reference as Muslims. And so from the battle of Uhud, we can see the danger of disobeying the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He gave them clear orders not to move from their positions, the archers who were positioned on the hill. And so what happened? They didn't listen to him, and they came down and the result was what it was. But this is one small disobedience. They made a mistake. How about us? And the major forms of disobedience we show to the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our lives. Do we think that the result will be okay? Imagine if the companions obeyed one simple order, they disobeyed one simple order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it caused the devastating result that it caused. Then do we think that by constantly disobeying what the Prophet ﷺ has left us with, that, you know, it's somehow going to be okay with us without any devastating results? And so this is something for us to ponder over. Number six, whatever calamities befall us, we are the ones who bring it upon our own selves. And so this is an extension of the last lesson of disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah tells us that the suffering they experienced was because of their own actions. It was because of their disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 165, أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَابْتُمْ مِثْلَيْهَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah says, why is it that when you suffered casualties, meaning on the day of Uhud, although you had made your enemy suffer twice as much, meaning in the battle of Badr, then you asked, how could this be? You know, the companions, they caused way more casualties among Quraysh in Badr than what happened to them on the day of Uhud. And then when it happened on the day of Uhud, they asked, how could this be? Why were we not victorious? And so Allah says, say, O Muhammad, huwa min indi anfusikum, it is from your own selves. You know, why are you asking, you know, why are you putting the blame on Allah? Why are you saying, O Allah, why did you cause us, you know, this loss? Allah is saying, say to them, it is as a result of your own actions. Indeed, Allah is most capable of doing everything, meaning Allah is the most powerful. He could have given you victory, but a condition of victory was missing. So that's why Allah did not give it to you. And so sometimes we wonder why our lives take a nasty turn. Why we suffer different kinds of problems in our lives. Some, they tend to put the blame on Allah. And so here Allah is reminding us that we are the ones who bring these problems upon our own selves. Number seven, preferring this dunya over the akhirah. This was the reason for disobeying the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah highlighted in these ayat. And so in verse 152 of Surah Ali Imran, Allah says, مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Some of you were after the dunya, worldly gain, the spoils of war that you saw, and others, they desired the akhirah. Meaning those companions who remained positioned on the hill and did not go down, even though it was tempting. For them, you know, they had their sight on the reward of Allah. And the story of our ummah with the spoils of war is a very sad one. It started in the Battle of Badr, right? We spoke about this. When Allah revealed Surah Al-Anfal, Surah Al-Anfal talks about the spoils of war. That's the meaning of Anfal. And we mentioned that Ubadah ibn al-Samit radiallahu anhu, he said, these ayat were revealed because we, the Sahaba, disputed over the spoils of war, and our akhlaq were not appropriate. We started fighting over who deserves this wealth. And then in the Battle of Uhud, it was the spoils of war that was the reason for these archers to come down from their positions. And so they were eager when they saw the Muslims were winning now and they're collecting the spoils of war. They wanted to join in. And so they were hungry for the dunya. And this problem persisted in every generation after that. Yes, there were some Muslims who learned the lesson, but then many did not. Take one example. What stopped the Muslim conquest from continuing in Western Europe? It was the spoils of war. We all know that the Muslims, they conquered Andalus, Spain. And so when they entered, their commander, Abdurrahman Al-Ghafiqi, was their commander, and he kept on advancing. He didn't stop. He kept on going until he was leading the Muslims now into France. And so they succeeded in conquering almost 2/3 of France. And they were now only 100 kilometers away from Paris. They were about to run over France. But by now, as they're moving forward, their army is just constantly moving forward. What's happening? As they're advancing, all of these spoils of war are coming in their hands. Entire cities and towns with their treasures and they're taking the women as captives. And so the soldiers are now starting to get distracted. And so instead of thinking about the enemy, they're now thinking about their share in the spoils of war. And so that is what weakened them. And so it was at this point that they suffered a major loss. And it was known as Ghazwat Balat al-Shuhada, the Court of Martyrs. And it was given this name because of the huge amount of Muslims that were killed. And among them was their commander, Abdurrahman al-Ghafiqi himself. And that marked the end of the Muslim advance in Western Europe. From there on, it was retreat upon retreat. They just kept on going backwards. Even though it was gradual, you know, it took about 800 years before they were eventually forced out of Spain. But although it was slowly but surely, they retreated until they lost Al-Andalus. And so the turning point was what? The turning point was due to greed for the dunya. Now, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, I did not know that there was among us the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people who preferred the dunya over the akhirah. And so he was referring to this verse where Allah says, Minkum man yuridu dunya wa minkum man yuridu al-akhirah. Among you are those who desire the dunya, and among you are those who desire the akhirah. Who is Allah talking about here? He's talking about the believers, the Muslims. He's not talking about the munafiqun. And so, this tells us how jihad fi sabilillah exposes so many things which would never have been discovered otherwise. We know about that concerning the munafiqun. There would be no way for us to know what is in their hearts except difficult circumstances like these, but also the believers. Number 8, we should hold on fast to our deen. And so when the rumors had spread that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was killed, some of the Muslims were psychologically defeated. And we mentioned this previously. When these rumors started to be spread, a group of the Muslims, they started to retreat, and they said, that's it. It's done and over with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is dead. The deen is over with. And now we should go to Abdullah ibn Ubay, the leader of the munafiqun. Perhaps he can help us in finding a peace treaty, a truce with Quraysh. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us a lesson here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 144, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Muhammad is no more than a messenger. Other messengers have gone before him. If he were to die or to be killed, would you then go back to kufr? Those who do so will not harm Allah whatsoever, and Allah will reward those who are grateful. So Allah tells the Muslims that there have been messengers before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are now dead. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like all of them, and he too will die just like they died. Allah then questions the Muslims, will they turn to kufr after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Just because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has died, it doesn't mean that we have to give up what he has left us with. And so what we learn from this is that Islam does not depend on personalities. The faith of this religion does not hinge on any person, or in fact any movement, even if that person is the greatest, as in the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is telling us here that if, you know, let's say that he was killed, does it mean that we're now going to abandon the mission that he left us with? And so there are some, they do think this way. They think that if such and such person is killed, the advance of Islam will stop. And so victory is not dependent on any leader, no matter how great he may be. And that's why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he wanted to teach the Muslims this very lesson. Who was the commander of the Muslim armies in his time? Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he fired Khalid ibn al-Walid from his post as the general of the Muslim army. He fired him. Why? Because he didn't want people to think that we are victorious because of him. He wanted the Muslims to put their trust back in Allah. That victory is from Allah. And so likewise, we should not depend on any particular leader. We shouldn't wait, as some Muslims do today. Oh, we're waiting for the Mahdi. When he comes, then we're gonna fight. Nor should we put all our hopes in, you know, certain countries, certain Muslim countries, or their armies. No. The victory, if it comes, it will come from Allah. Ibn Qayyim, he says, Uhud was a preparation for the most catastrophic event that would ever happen to the Muslims. This event was so great that the Muslims needed to go through some sort of training to be prepared for it. And this event was the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was everything for the Sahaba. He is the one who brought them out of darkness into light. He was their source of Islam. They didn't have books or the internet to teach them about Islam. So for them to lose him was a great shock. It was a setback. And it could have also caused a psychological effect, as it did for a group among them on that day, the day of Uhud. But now Allah allowed this to happen, and Allah allowed these rumors to be spread that Muhammad has been killed, in order to train the companions, to train them for that day when the Prophet ﷺ eventually does end up passing away. And so that's why Allah says this here in this ayah, that Muhammad is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you then turn back? And that is why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when some were in a state of shock and they couldn't believe it that he had died, he said to the people, whoever among you worships Muhammad, then let him know that Muhammad is dead, but whoever worships Allah, then Allah is alive and never dies. Number 9. There are some who put the blame for the death of Muslims on the Mujahideen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in these verses of Surah Ali Imran. Allah says in verse 154, وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. While others were disturbed by evil thoughts about Allah, the thoughts of the days of Jahiliyyah. Who is Allah talking about here? The Munafiqun. يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. They ask, do we have any say in the matter? Remember in the beginning of the battle? They had preferred that we stay here in Medina when the Prophet ﷺ consulted the companions asking, what should we do? The Munafiqun, they said, we should stay here and wait for the enemy to come here. They didn't want to go out. So they're asking, do we have any say in the matter? Allah says, قُلْ إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad, all matters are destined by Allah. يُخْفُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا لَا يُبْدُونَ لَكَ. They conceal in their hearts what they do not reveal to you. يَقُولُونَ لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ مَا قُتِلْنَا هَهُنَا. They say, these hypocrites, they say, if we had any say in the matter, none of us would have come to die here today. Meaning, if Muhammad ﷺ had listened to us, then today we would not have suffered so many casualties. Allah goes on to say, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقَتْلُ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ وَلِيَبْتَلِيَ اللَّهُ مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ وَلِيُمَحِّصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah says, say, O Muhammad, even if you were to remain in your homes, those among you who were destined to be killed would have met the same fate. Through this, Allah tests what is within you, and He purifies what is in your hearts, and Allah knows best what is hidden in the hearts. And so the munafiqun will say, today, as they said 1400 years ago, they'll say, why are the Muslims getting themselves into trouble? Why are the Muslims attacking the enemy? Allah is saying here that you were not killed on this day because you fought in jihad. It was a time of death that had come for these shuhada. And even if they had not come out, if they had remained in their homes, the ones whom Allah had destined for them to die, they would have died. So the people who blame the death of Muslims today on the Mujahideen are wrong. Like those who are saying today, in the current events that we are witnessing, that if only Hamas had not initiated that attack, the innocent lives would not have gone to waste. The Muslims would not have been slaughtered the way they are being slaughtered today. And so these people are only following in the footsteps of those munafiqun. So Allah is teaching us a lesson here that when it comes to death, it is the decree of Allah that people will die whenever their time comes. It doesn't make a difference whether you go out or you stay at home. It doesn't make a difference whether the Muslims fight or they don't fight. You will die when Allah wills. And so here Allah is saying to these munafiqun, do not blame the battle of Uhud for the deaths of the Muslims who died in it. Number 10, treating mistakes. How did Allah treat the mistakes of the companions? Allah never praised the Muslims for their victory, even after Badr. There was no verse in the Quran in which Allah praised the Muslims for their efforts. In fact, Allah said contrary to that. What did Allah say in reference to the Battle of Badr? And even this is in Surah Ali Imran. وَمَا جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بُشْرَى لَكُمْ وَلِتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُكُمْ بِهِ. Allah made this, meaning the reinforcement of the angels in the Battle of Badr. Allah says He only made it as good news for you and reassurance for your hearts. وَمَنْ نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. And victory is only from Allah, the Almighty, the Wise. And so Allah did not give the Muslims credit for the Battle of Badr. And so this tells us something. After the Battle of Badr, Allah wanted to clean the hearts of the Muslims from all kinds of evil diseases of the heart, like pride and arrogance. Because this is a common trait among victorious armies. They celebrate attributing the victory to themselves. And then, what happens? They become tyrannical. That arrogance fills their hearts. And so, Allah reminded the Muslims that no, it's not because you did anything, but it's because Allah who gave you this victory. Allah attributes the victory to Himself. While in the Battle of Uhud, what would you expect? You would expect Allah to reprimand the Muslims, to blame them for what they did, right? But He didn't. Remember, the Muslims were distressed and their morale was down. So instead of causing them more anguish by blaming them, Allah instead lifted up their spirits by comforting them and telling them that Allah has forgiven you. The Muslims had committed a sin by disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming down from that hill, and they committed a sin by being hungry for the dunya. But in the end, what does Allah tell them? That He has forgiven them. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ منكم من يريد الدنيا ومنكم من يريد الآخرة ثم صرفكم عنهم ليبتليكم ولقد عفا عنكم والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين. Allah says that after the initial victory, then your courage weakened and you started to dispute about the command and disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after he had shown you that which you love, the spoils of war. Some of you were after the dunya while others wanted the akhirah. Allah says, then He turned you back from them, meaning your enemy. He did not give you victory over them so that He may test you. But then Allah concludes by saying, وَلَقَدْ عَفَا عَنْكُمْ. Yet Allah has pardoned you, He has forgiven you, and Allah is gracious to the believers. And so the lesson we learn from this is that this is how Allah treated them for doing what they did. And so this is how we also must be, always pardoning and forgiving others. When someone makes a mistake, even if he is sinful and wrong, we shouldn't add to the problem by reprimanding him and blaming him, that if you hadn't done this, it wouldn't have happened like this. As long as the person is regretful and they repent. And so this is how Allah treated their mistake. How did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam deal with it? Allah tells us how He dealt with it. Allah says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah says, O Muhammad, it is out of Allah's mercy that you have been lenient towards them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lenient with them. Allah says, had you been cruel or hard-hearted, they would have certainly left you. They would have run away from you. And then Allah says, so pardon them, ask Allah's forgiveness for them, and make shura with them, consult them in matters. And then once you have made a decision after consultation, then put your trust in Allah. Surely Allah loves those who trust in Him. So Allah is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that your da'wah is based on being lenient and soft, not being harsh in word or speech or in your heart. And here Allah tells us that that is the approach that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam took after everything that happened in the Battle of Uhud. Even though, you know, he could have come down hard on them, right? We understand Allah pardoned them. Allah is who He is. But Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a human being. And any human being in such a situation, he's going to become angry, and his anger is going to overtake him. But Allah praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for not having acted in that way. And then Allah tells him to pardon them, meaning these archers who disobeyed him and came down. Allah is saying pardon them and ask Allah to forgive them. And so imagine, they suffered because of these archers. You know, imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is injured because of their mistake. 70 Muslims were killed because of their mistake. And then Allah tells him to pardon them. Not only that, but Allah also wanted him to ask Allah for forgiveness for them. And then Allah says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. We spoke about shura in the beginning of the battle, right? And how some of the Muslims, especially the ones who had missed out in the Battle of Badr, they were asking the Prophet ﷺ to go out and fight at Uhud. And we mentioned how this was not the view of the Prophet ﷺ himself. His view had actually coincided with the hypocrites. He thought we should stay here in Medina. But in the end, these companions who wanted to go out to fight, they were insisting. And we mentioned how the Prophet ﷺ, he came out in his armor, and he said, we're going then. We're going out to Uhud. All of this was after what? After the Prophet ﷺ made shura. After he consulted the companions. Now, post-battle, many of the Muslims may have thought that this was the wrong decision. Maybe we should not have done that. And so what is Allah telling the Prophet ﷺ here? He's saying no. Consult them. And so even if consultation led you to that loss at Uhud, Allah is saying don't let that to prevent you from ever making shura again. Shura is the right way to go. And once the decision is made, then we put our trust in Allah. Number 11. Numbers are not a factor in deciding victory or defeat. And we know about this concerning which battle? The Battle of Badr. And that's obvious, right? The Muslims were outnumbered and yet they were victorious. But how about the Battle of Uhud? There are some Muslims, in fact, some movements that are based on a false hypothesis. They say, in order for the Ummah to succeed and be victorious, we have to make sure that everyone is on board, meaning the entire Ummah. Everyone has to be practicing and committed to Islam, and no one should be disobeying Allah, no one should be committing sins. Once we reach that level, then and only then will we be victorious. They say as long as we have Muslims who are not praying, Muslims who are committing sins, then we are never going to win. And we are never going to win until the Muslims who show up for Fajr prayer in the masjid are equal to the ones who show up for Salatul Jumu'ah. However, this is an incorrect hypothesis. This doesn't mean that we don't encourage others and the Ummah to return back to the deen. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is that there will always be more Muslims who pray and come up for Jumu'ah than those who show up for Fajr. And there will always be Muslims who will be committing sins. And there will always be Muslims who are not fulfilling their basic obligations. If you are waiting for victory when all the Muslims are obedient, then that will never happen. And the proof that this hypothesis is wrong is the fact that in the Battle of Uhud, what happened? A huge chunk of the Muslim army defected. Imagine a third of the army. As they're marching towards Uhud, the hypocrites, they withdraw. The question is, did that affect the outcome of the Battle of Uhud? Meaning, if the munafiqun had stayed in the army, would the Muslims have been victorious? The answer is no. And so, their numbers decreasing on the day of Uhud was not why they lost on that day. This was not mentioned in all the ayat that we mentioned in relation to the Battle of Uhud. Not once did Allah mention this as being the reason for their loss. But rather, what was the reason? The disobedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Allah tells us about another battle that will happen later on. Which battle is that? No. The Battle of Hunayn. Allah mentions that the Muslims were more in number. This was after the conquest of Mecca. And now, you know, the Muslims are increasing in numbers. And so when the Muslims marched to Hunayn, they were impressed. We have a huge army. Our enemy doesn't stand a chance now. And so what does Allah say about that? Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Allah says, indeed, Allah has given you victory on many battlefields. And at the Battle of Hunayn, when you took pride in your great numbers, but they proved of no advantage to you. The earth, despite its vastness, seemed to close in on you, and then you turned back in retreat. And so, since there will always be munafiqun among us in this ummah, they will never affect the outcome of any battle. whether it be, you know, a victory or a defeat. The outcome is affected by a core group of the Muslims. And they are al-Ta'ifa al-Mansura, the saved group. The Prophet ﷺ has told us in several different ahadith that there will always be a group from my ummah. A small group. They are the core group. And they will always be victorious. And they will never be harmed by those who criticize them. And so if this core group stray, then yes, you know, the outcome of the battle, you know, will be affected. But not the vast majority of the ummah. And so we see this in the Battle of Uhud. It was the core group. When they disobeyed, then, you know, the Muslims, they suffered the loss that they did. It wasn't the 300 that left with Abdullah ibn Ubay. Finally, if Allah wants to give you victory, then no power on earth can stop that from happening. And so we should fear no one. Allah gave victory to Musa alayhi salam, even though he was fighting Fir'aun. And so this lesson we learn again from these verses in Surah Ali Imran. And so Allah says in verse 160, إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. If Allah helps you, then none can defeat you. But if He denies you help, then who else can help you after that? And so in Allah let the believers put their trust. And so we should rely upon Allah alone. If we do not rely upon Allah, then He will forsake us. He will forsake us. We'll conclude with one last lesson, and that is obeying Allah at times of ease as well as at times of difficulty. And so one of the characteristics of the munafiqun in this battle was their refusal to fight in the beginning because of their fear of death. But now, when the Prophet ﷺ returned, and the next morning he said, let's go chase the enemy, these hypocrites, they showed up. Why? Because they thought there's a good chance of victory. We're chasing them as they're leaving to Mecca. And so they wanted to join for the sake of the dunya. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to allow them to join. He only allowed those who had participated in the Battle of Uhud. And so the munafiqun, they refused to submit when sacrifice was required, but they wanted to join when it was easy. And so when a person follows Islam, when there's something in it for him, and then turns back when sacrifice is required, then this is a sign of nifaq. It's a sign of hypocrisy. And it applies to many different situations. And this is where we need to check ourselves. Do we become excited when a certain Islamic activity has a worldly benefit, but when it becomes demanding and requires sacrifice, we back off? And that's why Ibn Qayyim, he says that one of the benefits of the Battle of Uhud is to show the ubudiyya of Allah, to show the servitude of Allah, of the companions, that they are willing to worship Allah in times of ease as well as in times of difficulty. So if they are firm and steadfast upon their deen in both situations, then this is a sign of their true ubudiyya, their true servitude. That is unlike people who only worship Allah in one condition. And so sometimes people worship Allah when things get tough, or when things are easy. And then when things get tough, they stop. Or some people, they only remember Allah in difficult times, and then they forget Him in easy times. Like if you lose your job, you're making dua. In every dua, in every sujood, in every time when dua is accepted, you're asking Allah, "Oh Allah, give me a job." And then, when you get that job, you stop making dua. And so this is an example of people who only worship Allah in one state, in one condition. And Allah has told us of an example of these people. For example, the mushrikun, that when they are stuck in the middle of the ocean and the waves come down on them and they think that they're going to die, at once they put their hands up to Allah and say, "Oh Allah, save us. And if you save us, we're going to be grateful to you." And then when Allah saves them and they're now on shore and they're safe, they go back to their idol worship. As Allah mentions also in Surah Al-Hajj, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. How some people, they only worship Allah in one condition, and then when things get tough or when things become easy, they change. And so the Battle of Uhud shows us that a sign of Iman is that you are in it in both the thick and the thin, the good times, the easy times, as well as the tough times. And it is a sign of hypocrisy if you only show your face and you show up when things are easy or in your favor. And so these are, as I said, only some of the many, many lessons that can be learned from the Battle of Uhud. Insha'Allah ta'ala, next week we'll move on to the next events that take place in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.